Today's daf is Chulin Daf Peches, and we have five lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Zayin Amid Beis Tanan Hasam. Today's daf is being learned as a schus before Shlomo. Vachava Miriam Bas Malka Freida, Shlomo Ben Chaya Leia, and Yisrael Ben Adina. So we're moving along in Perek Kisui Adam, obviously discussing halachos related to Kisui Adam, stating that we're in the midst of a tiny bit of a digression. The Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph discussed what would be if dam, blood, was nisarev mixed with some other liquid. At what point do we say that the dam is no longer considered dam, thus you're no longer going to be chayiv in the mitzvah of Kisui Adam? It was a brief discussion in the Mishnah, a slightly more extended discussion in the Gemara. The very last Gemara that we learned mentioned the idea of tzlelta d'dama. So tzlelta d'dama in English is blood serum, which is a yellowish byproduct that comes from blood after blood coagulates. So when the blood thickens, it hardens, so there's a little part of the blood that doesn't even look red that's going to fall to the wayside. That's what's known as tzlelta d'dama. And there was a little bit of a discussion in the Gemara whether tzlelta d'dama in halacha is treated like dam or it's not treated like dam. The Gemara said, Rabbi Yirmiyahu midifti amar anush karas, that just like if somebody eats or drinks dam, he's chayiv karas. So too, if somebody would eat or drink the tzlelta d'dama, he would be chayiv karas. Additionally, b'masnisa tana, the Gemara quoted a brisa that said, just like a revius of dam of a mace is metama even ba'oil, so too, a revius of this tzlelta d'dama would be metama ba'oil. On that note, the Gemara begins with a brisa, even though it says tanan hasam, this is not a mishnah, this is really a brisa that is going to continue to talk a little bit about tzlelta d'dama. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, we learned in a braisa, kol mashke hames, any mashke, any liquid that comes out of a dead person, tahirin is tahir, chutz midamai, with the exception of the blood. So the blood of a mace we know is metama, like a mace itself is metama. But any other mashka that comes out of a mace, so for example, a tear, or if it's a woman, milk, any mashka that emanates from a mace is actually counterintuitively considered tar. The only mashka of a mace that's tame is the dam. The brisa continues, and this is what we need. V'chol mare ademumishabai, and any part of the dam that is a quote-unquote mare admumis, we're referring to the tzlelta d'dama, metamabayil, it too is going to be metamabayil. The bottom line is, this is a brisa that supports this idea that the tzlelta d'dama, like the dam itself, is metamabayil. So we just mentioned this brisa, very much a continuation of the end of the previous daf, but the Gemara now is going to digress and talk a little bit about Tuma v'Tahira for a moment. Now, before we start this next Gemara, a tiny bit of an introduction. We know that not all Tuma was created equally. We also know that as something Tuma transmits Tuma, the level of Tuma gets diluted. It weakens a little bit. That's why an Ava Tuma that is Metama something makes that thing into a Tolda. Only a Rishon L'Tuma. A Rishon would make something into a Sheni, Sheni Shlishi, Shlishi Revi. These numbers are meaningful in that they represent a level, a Madrega of Tuma. A Rishon L'Tuma, it's a higher number, it's a lower number, but it's closer to the source, is more tame than a sheni. A sheni is more tame than a shlishi. A shlishi is more tame than a revi. There's one major exception to the rule, and that is tumas mashken. It was one of the yudches dvarim that were instituted. The Gemara talks about it in the first parak of Masech Shabbos, where Chazal said that although ordinarily a sheni could only be metama something and make it into a shlishi, but if a sheni comes in contact with mashka, the mashka becomes tame. Not only does it become tame, but it would become a rishon l'tumah. There's one exception to that rule, and that is a tful yom. A tful yom is somebody that was tame, went to the mikvah. He has to wait for the sun to set in order for his tahira to be complete. See the first mishnah in Shas, Brachas Daf Beis, for an analysis on this idea. A tful yom, Chazal said, has a din of a sheni l'tumah. Every tful yom gets treated like a sheni l'tumah. Ordinarily, a sheni l'tumah that comes in contact with a mashka would make the mashka into a rishon l'tumah. It's one of the yudches dvarim. Tful yoim, although he's a sheni l'tumah, does not make a mashka into a rishon l'tumah. It's the one exception to that rule. That's the introduction that we need. Says the Gemara, u'mashka meis tahirin. Is that true that any mashka that comes out of a meis, with the exception of the blood, is tahar v'reminu? I'll ask you a kasha from a mishnah, and this mishnah is a meseches tful yoim. Perik, Beis Mishnah Aleph, the Mishnah states, Mashka Tful Yoim, the Mashka that emanates from a Tful Yoim. So any type of liquid that comes from a Tful Yoim, so his spittle, his urine, a tear, if the Tful Yoim is a woman, Chalav, even the blood, by the way, any Mashka that comes out of Tful Yoim, K'mashkin Shinegei Ben, has the same halacha like a Mashkin that the Tful Yoim touched. Okay, what's that halacha? The Elu ve'elu, both the Mashkin that come out of the Tful Yoim, or the Mashkin that were touched by the Tful Yoim, a metamin, the halacha is, will be Tahar, the Tful Yoim won't be able to be metamin. What's the point? The point is, although Tful Yoim is a Sheni L'toma, and a Sheni L'toma ordinarily want to come in contact with Mashkin, is a metama. Not only is it metama, it even makes it into a rishon l'tumah. The tful yom is the exception to the rule, and therefore, if it comes in contact with a mashka, it's not going to be metama at all. Now, let's just meditate on this point for 1 second. Why is it not metama at all? Let it make it a shlishi l'tumah. The teretz is because chulin can never be a shlishi l'tumah. And like the Rishonim speak out, that Mishnah is talking specifically about Chulin. And being that Chulin can't ever become a Shlishi Latoma, so it's for that reason, Ein Metamin Klal. Meaning, not only does it not make the Mashka into a Rishon, it can't even be Metama the Mashka at all. Because if it can't make it into a Rishon, then you don't have the Chiddush of the Yud Ches Dvarim. The only thing it can make it into is a Shlishi. There is no Shlishi by Chulin. Now, if the Mishnah was willing to talk about Truma and Kachin, then it would be able to be Metama. It would be Metama the Mashka, no differently than it's metama oichlin, and would make it into a shlishi or a revi. The point is that being that the Mishnah is talking about chulin, and chulin can't be a shlishi, ordinarily a sheni could be metama chulin a mashka because it makes it into a rishon. That's the chiddush of the Yud Ches Dvarim. A tful yom doesn't have the chiddush, and it's for that reason it's not going to be metama. But again, what's the Mishnah? The Mishnah is saying that the mashke that comes out of a tful yoim is the same as a mashke that was touched by a tful yoim. A mashke that was touched by a tful yoim, if it's chulin, is not tamei. So too, the mashke that comes out of the tful yoim is not going to be tamei. The mashar kala tmeim, but as it relates to other tmeim, meaning not a tful yoim, bein kalin, whether the tmeim were tmeim kalin, like lighter, more lenient types of tmeim, bein chamurin, or whether they were more chamur type of tmeim, there the halacha is, mashke. Any mashka that emanates from them, kemashka negei behen, is like mashka that they touched. Ve'elu tchila. And the halacha in those cases, in those tmeim, ben kalin, ben chamurim, is going to be that the mashka that comes from them and the mashka that they touch is going to be a tchila. It's going to be a rishon l'toma. That's one of the yudches dvarim. That any time you touch mashka, it doesn't matter how tamei or not tamei you are, it's automatically going to become a rishon l'toma. Chutz min mashka shu avatoma. The only exception to this is that there are some tmeim where the mashka that comes out of them is actually an avatoma, in which case it's more than just mashkin that they touched, because it's a source of tumah. What's an example of that? Shichvazera, there's something called Mayonis Azov, the dam of a mace. There are examples where you have a mashka where the cheftza of the mashka is an avatoma, so that's obviously an exception to this rule. But with the exception of those, any mashka that comes out of a tamei, bein kalim, bein chamurin, the halacha is going to be like mashkin that was touched by the kalim, the chamurin. What's the halacha? It's going to be a rishon l'tumah. So really, if you think about what this Mishnah is saying, it's very straightforward. Mashkin that comes out of a tamei is like mashkin that was touched by the tamei. That's really what the Mishnah is saying. If the tamei is a tful yoim that touches mashkin that are chulin, nothing happens. So the mashke that comes out of the tful yoim is not going to be tummy. If the tumma is not a tful yoim, it doesn't matter if the tumma is a kal or a chamor, being that if that tumma would touch mashkin, it would make it into a rishon tumma. The tumma that comes out of that, meaning the mashkin that comes out of those tmeim, is also going to be a rishon tumma. The one thing that's not so clear in this mishnah is what's the definition of tmeim that are kalin and tmeim that are chamorim. Says the gemara, my kalin, my chamorim. How do you define kalin? How do you define chamorim? My love, says the gemara. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. Kalin means lesheretz, vizav. It means all tmeim. The chamorim means one tamei, the most chamor tamei, and that is a mace. Why is a mace more chamor than all the other tamei? So Rashi says, because every source of tumah is an ava tumah, but a mace is the avi avoisa tumah. What makes it avi avoisa tumah? Because a mace that touches a person, that person doesn't become a rishon l'tumah, he becomes an ava tumah. A tamei mace, like the mace itself, is a source of tumah. If you can make something into a source of tumah, that means you're even better than the source. You're better than the Av. What's better than the Av? The Zeta. The Avi Avos. But the bottom line is, says the Gemara, you know what I think this Mishnah is saying? Is Ushar Kalat Meyim, Ben Kalim, meaning all Tmeyim, with the exception of a mace, Uben Chamurim and a mace, any mashkin that comes out of it, what's the halacha going to be? It's going to be a Rishon L'tumah. Well, that's a kasha on the brisa that we just mentioned. We quoted a brisa to talk about Slelta the Dama that said, Kol mashke ha mace tahirim chutz midamai. Here I have a Mefurish Mishnah that says that any mashke that comes out of a Tomei Chamur, which we think now means a mace, is going to be a Rishon L'tumah. So you see that mashkin that comes out of a mace is going to be a Rishon L'tumah. It's not going to be tar, but the Gemara says, lie. Could be kalin is referring to a sheretz, the chamurin is referring to a zav. It could be that a mace is mashkin and a chanami is going to be taught. And when the Mishnah says chamur, it's not referring to a mace. What's it referring to? A zav. I thought zav is kalin. No, kalin is referring to sheretz, zav is referring to chamurin. Tumas sheretz is much more kuladig than is a tumas zav, meaning a sheretz is a lesser source of tumah than is a zav. Thus, one would be referred to as kalin, and the other one would be referred to as chamurim. But as it relates to a mace, the halach is the mashkin that comes out of it is actually going to be tar. Now, if you think about it for a second, it's very interesting. The mashkin that comes out of a sheretz is tumah. The mashkin that comes out of a zav is tamei. The mashkin that comes out of a mace is tahar. When the Mishnah says kalin and chamurin, the mashkin that come out, have a din of a rishon l'tumah, it's referring to sheretz and zav or anything similar, respectively. The Bryce already said that when it comes to a mace, kol mashka mace is tahirim, with the exception of the dam, which means that the mace, which is for sure the most chamur of all the tmeim, it's the avi avos tumah, like we just said a second ago, its mashkin is less tameh than is the mashkin that comes out of kalin and chamurim. How in the world could that be? Now, the truth is, this idea that mashkin that comes out of tameh is tameh, that's really a din derabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa, it's a din d'rabbanan. But that means that the Rabbanan were machmer when it came to sheretz and zav, and they were mekel when it came to mace. It's a very difficult thing to understand. It's the Gemara's kasha. Maishna zav de gazav e'rabbanan, u maishna mace le gazav e'rabbanan. Doesn't this seem to be very counterintuitive that the Rabbanan were geizer when it came to zav, they weren't geizer when it came to a mace? Gemara says, it's actually not. Because zav, the loy bedili inchimine, people, if they see a zav, they're not necessarily going to cross the street, right? A zav is a person that happens to be tummy right now. But he's part of society. People are not bedili mineh. It's for that reason Gazer Rabbanan. The Rabbanan felt that being that the Zav is Tameh and he's Me'anche Shloimeinu, so we have to make certain harchakas. One of the harchakas was that any mashke, if he spits, he cries, anything that comes out of him, stay far away. Steer clear, because it's going to be a source of tumah. It's a way of making sure we're not going to get too close to him, because if you get too close to him, then you can really become tumah. Mace, the bedili in chimine, but a mace, nobody gets too close to a mace. It's for that reason Rabbanan didn't feel that they have to be machmer, loy, gazru, be, Rabbanan. So the reason the Rabbanan were geyser by the zav and they weren't geyser by the mace is related to the fact that there's a mitzias, the zav is loy bedili in shemineh, the mace is bedili in shemineh. Either way, going back to the Mishnah, the seif of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, top of Pezayin number days, dam hanites. So there's somebody that was shechting a chayr and oif, and now blood squirted, and it went far from where he was. Now the visual is, this yid knows that after he shechts the chayr the oif, he's going to have to do kisi adam. So he's prepared for it. What's the first thing you do? You have to have a layer of afar. The dam's going to go on top of that. And then you're going to put more afar on top of that. This dam squirted. And it went to an area that's hard, where there was no afar underneath it that was prepared. Okay. Additionally, v'shal ha'sakin, or there was some leftover dam, some shirayin, on the actual knife. The question is, do I have to go fetch that blood right now that's far away from where I shecht it, scrape it off, and now bring it to a place where it could have a proper burial? Do I have to scrape the dam off the sakin? Or do I say, whatever dam is here, that I'm going to be mekayim the mitzvah of kisei adam, but me'echatesi, I should have to go and get that dam. So that's what the Mishnah addressed. And the Mishnah said, yes, chayv l'chasos. You have to get the dam anites. You have to get the dam asakin. Rabbi Yehuda clarified. He said, a masai, when is that true? Bezman she'in shom dam elohu. That's only true if that's the only blood there is. Avo yesham dam shaloyu patam l'chasos. Meaning, if the only dam, for whatever reason, you can do the kisei adam with is the dam anites or the dam asakin, you have a chiv to do kisei adam. But if I have dam right here readily available that I can do the kisei adam with, then I'm not mechiv to go get that dam to add it there. So what's the halach of the Mishnah? Dam hanite shal asakin chayv l'chasos. Rabbi Yehuda gave this big caveat. Now, just one klal before we start the Gemara. There's a rule, this is one of the klali hashas, that anytime Rabbi Yehuda says the word a masai in a Mishnah, he's not coming to be chaylik, he's coming to be mefarish. Which means that even though at first glance it sounds like there's two opinions in the Mishnah, there's really only one opinion in the Mishnah. It's the opinion of the chachamim with some clarification from Rabbi Yehuda. And that is, the dam anites v'shal asakin, you have to be mechasa only if it's the only blood in town. If, however, I could be mekayim the mitzvah of kisei adam without it, in that instance, I don't have an obligation. Either way, the Gemara now is going to begin with a braisa that is going to mimic what the Mishnah said. Then the Gemara is going to bring another braisa, which is going to mention two additional shitas as it relates to this idea of dam anites. And then the Gemara is going to make a sikum. We have three shitas, but maiko miflegei, what exactly is the machlekes? It says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. It says in the Torah, v'shafach es damai v'chisahu be'ofer. That's the pasuk that talks about the mitzvah of kisui adam. The word v'chisahu is very broad word, and it seems to be very inclusive. V'chiso, all blood, any type of blood, you always have to be mechasam. Malam, it says the b'raisa shadam anites, v'shal ha'sakin chayv l'chaso, is that even the dam anites, the dam that's squirted away, or the dam that's on the sakin, that's included v'chiso, you have to be mechasam. Amr, Rabbi Yehuda said, a masai, when is that true? Bezman she'in shom dam elohu, if that's the only dam that you have, av yesh shom dam shalayu, but if you have any other dam, patam l'chaso, at that point you're not going to have to be mechasam. This b'raisa is verbatim the Mishnah. Like we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda's being mefarish, and the Brayis, Rabbi Yehuda's being mefarish, there's one sheet. You have to do kisi adam, adam anites, and adam asakin, but only if it's the only dam that you have. Tanya, there's another Brayis. So again, it says, v'shafach es domi v'chiso, ba'afir malam, we learn from here, shakol domi chayv l'chaso, that you have to be mechasa all the dam. Mikan omru, from here we learn, dam anites, dam that's squirted away, v'shala gapayim, or any dam that's on the animal itself. So after you shech the animal, there's going to be some blood on the animal. Chayv l'chaso is, you have to be mechasa. Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, b'med var mamurim, and this Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel, b'med var mamurim, is not like Omer Rav Yehuda Emosai. Rav Shimon Gamliel's b'med var mamurim is another shita. He's coming to be chaylik. And he says, when is this true? Shaloi kisa dam ha-nefesh. That's true if you weren't mechasa the dam ha-nefesh. Aval kisa dam ha-nefesh, once you do kisa ha-dam on the dam ha-nefesh, potem al-chasa is, at that point, you don't have to be mechasa. So if you take these two braises, the first of which was the Mishnah, and you put it together, sounds like we have three shitas here. The sheet of the Mishnah was that you have to do kisei adam on the dam anites and the dam asakin, but only if you don't have any other dam. As long as I could do kisei adam with some dam, we're not even getting involved. Is it dam anefesh? Is it dam atamsis? Right? All the different dams that we know about. I don't care what dam it is. As long as I'm doing kisei adam, that in and of itself would be okay. The Tanakama of the second braisa said v'kiso malamit shekol dam lechayv lechasos. No caveats. You always have to be mechasa dam. Meaning all dam in the world that you have, I don't care how far you have to get it from, if it's on the knife, if it's on the animal, you always have to be mechasa. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that v'kiso teaches me you have to be mechasa the dam hanefesh. And as long as you get the dam hanefesh, that in and of itself is going to be okay. So what does it sound like the three shitas are? The first braisa, which is the Mishnah, says you just have to do some kisei adam. As long as you do some kisei adam, you will mekayim the mitzvah. The first sheet of the second braisa, kisei adam means all the dam. And the second sheet of the second brisa, which is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, says, what I care about is the Dam HaNefesh. It says the Gemara b'Maikom Miflegi, what's the machloik? Is Rabbanon Savri, the Rabbanon, who are the Tanakama of the second brisa, holds that when it says in the Torah, Damai, v'shafach es Damai, v'chisahu, what does Damai mean? Call Damai, it means all the Dam. That's why they hold you after Mechasa, all the Dam. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yehuda, who was the first brisa, he's also the Mishnah, right? He's the Pirish on the first sheet. He holds Damai means Vafilo Mixas Damai, even Mixas Damai. And it's for that reason, as long as you're doing some Kisei Adam, I don't have to go fetch Dam. I don't have to scrape Dam off the knife. Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar, Damai means Damai HaMiyuchid. What is Miyuchid? What's the unique? What's the most chashev of all the Dam? It's the Dam HaNefesh, right? That's the Dam you do Zrika with on a carbon. It's the Dam HaNefesh. That's the Dam that you have to make sure you're Mechasa. And as long as you're Mechasa, the Dam HaNefesh. So it's not enough that you just Mechasa the Dam. It has to be the Dam HaNefesh. Bottom line is, these are the three Ishitas. Moving along, another Mishnah. So again, this is like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the most basic halachos related to Kisei Adam. So the Torah says, how do you do Kisei Adam? Very straightforward. V'chiso be'offer. Stating that, the Mishnah says it doesn't have to be offer. But anything similar to offer is going to be okay. Anything dissimilar to offer is not going to be okay. The Mishnah is going to give us examples of both. What could you be mechasa with and what could you not be mechasa with? Mechasim bezevel adak. So if somebody has zevel, right? So zevel is the dung, the excrement of animals. As long as it's dak, as long as it's fine, you could be mechasa with it. U'b'chayl adak, or fine sand. Besid is lime. Becharsis, Rashi says, is if somebody takes earthenware and he sheichik it, he grinds it very, very thin. Ubelevena ubemegufa shekachan, or if somebody has a brick that was crushed, or if somebody has the cover of a barrel that was crushed, any of those things are similar to offer, you want to be mechas with that, it's going to be okay. Abel says, the Mishnah, in mechas, and you can't be mechas, you can't be mechas in the midst of Kisei Adam. Loi bezevel agas, if you have zevel but it's thick, v'loi bechel agas, or if you have sand but it's not fine, v'loi belevenu umbemegufa shaloi kachan, or if you have a brick, or you have the cover of a chavis that you didn't crush, v'loi yich ba'alavas akli, additionally, you're not allowed to just take a keli and put it on top of it, that in itself is not going to be okay. Klal om Rav Shimon Gamliel. In fact, Rav Shimon Gamliel gave the following rule. Dover shemegadol b'itzmachin. Anything that you want to use for kisui, if this is a dover shemegadol b'itzmachin, if you can plant something inside this, meaning it has the qualities that if you wanted to make like a little flower pot and you wanted a bizareya inside of it, you can do it. Mechasim ba, you'd be able to mechasim. She'in megadol tzmachim. If, however, you can't be megadol tzmachim, ein mechasim ba, you wouldn't be able to mechasim. If you take a look at the bottom, Tosfos on Pechesim at Aleph, Tosfos says that this Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is lav lefluge. He's not coming to be chaylik. The klal om Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is explaining the Mishnah. So what's the beer in the Mishnah? Anything that's megadol by tzmachim, you can be mechasim. Anything not. So again, in the Mishnah, it says, why? It says offer, but offer is lav dafka. It has to be a dovish hamegadol meitzmachim, which is one of the qualities of offer. As long as it's net, you'd be able to use it for kisei adam. So Mishnah gave examples of when it is okay for kisei adam, when it's not okay for kisei adam. Bameh mechasin ubameh ein mechasin. The Mishnah said mechasin bezevel hadak ubechoyel hadak. When the Mishnah said ein mechasin, it said ein mechasin, loy bezevel hagas, v'loy bechoyl hagas. So we're going to focus on choyl. Choyl hadak, if it's fine sand, you can use it for kisei adam. If the grains of sand are very thick, if it's choyl hagas, then you would not be able to use it. Hey chidami, says the Gemara, choyl hadak. How do you define choyl hadak? Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bachana said in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan, Kol she'in ha'yoytze tzarech l'kotche. If you're a potter and you're going to use choyl, sand, right now to make whatever it is you're making, if you're not going to have to crush the choyl because it's crushed enough you to be able to use it as a material, that's choyl adak, you can use it for kisei adam. Obviously implying the inverse, which is that if you would have to crush it, then it's too big, it's not going to be okay. But the way the halacha was stated, and this matters, kol she'ein ha'yoytzer tzarech l'kotshay, that's the definition of chayil adak. Ikdamasin la'sefer. There was some that said the same exact halacha, but not on the reisha, on the sefer. What is insane? The sefer, aval ein mechasin, you're not allowed to be mechasin, loy bezevel hagas, v'loy bechayil hagas, heichidom yichayil hagas, and not heichidom yichayil adak, heichidom yichayil hagas, amr rabbi bar barchan, amr rabbi yoy. Same names. Kol shayitz tzarech lekatsha. If the yitz would have to crush it, that would be considered chayil hagas. So if you think about it, the two lishonos are really saying the same thing. The first lishna Rabbi Bar Bachan and Rabbi Yochanan's comment was on the ratio of the Mishnah Chayil Hadak. In the second Mishnah, the comment was on Chayil Hagas, but it's the same thing. Hechidami Chayil Hadak, Kol She'ina Yoytzeh Tzarech L'Kotchei, which implies if the Yoytzeh Tzarech L'Kotchei, it's Chayil Hagas. In the second Mishnah, Hechidami Chayil Hagas, Kol She'ina Yoytzeh Tzarech L'Kotchei, which implies that if it's Eina Yoytzeh Tzarech L'Kotchei, it's going to be Chayil Hadak. But it's two Lashonis for a reason, right? There must be some Machloikis that says the Gemara might be Nayo, otherwise let's just agree to disagree and let's move on. No, we're fighting and we're duking it out. There must be something at stake over here. So, Frank the Gemara, what is the nafkamina if it's in the ratio, it's in the sefer? These two lashonis seem to be verbatim saying the same exact thing. So, Gemara, no, there's a very subtle nafkamina. What would be if you have chayil that the yoitzer would have to a little bit crush, but not so much? Rashi explains it, that the yoitzer wouldn't need one of his tools in order to crush it, but he'd be able to crush it with his hands. The mifrach efruchi is where Rashi explains it. Meaning, if you want to just go ahead and crush it with your hand, then that in and of itself would be enough. Is that considered chayil hadak or is that considered chayil hagas? How does it tie into these two lashonis? According to the first lishna, that the comment of Rabbi Bar Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan was on the ratio of the Mishnah chayil hadak. So hechidami chayil hadak kol she'ina yoytzeh tzarech l'kotchei. This, being that it's a tzarech, but it's also a light tzarech, so the yoytzer doesn't have to crush it. Therefore, it's included in chayil hadak, and therefore it's going to be kosher for kisei adam. According to the second lishna, kol sha yoytzer tzarech l'kotchei. The emphasis is on tzarech, as long as you're a little bit tzarech. Even though you're a tzarech v'ein a tzarech, that would be enough to say that it's going to be treated like chayil hagas. So again, what is the nafke mina between the two lashonis? If the doglish is kol she'ein ha'yoytze tzarech l'kotchei, then a tzarech v'ein a tzarech is oichetan ein a tzarech l'kotchei. If the doglish is kol she'ha'yoytze tzarech l'kotchei, then something that tzarech v'ein a tzarech is included in tzarech. If the doglish is the ein a tzarech, then tzarech v'ein a tzarech is an ein a tzarech. If the doglish is the tzarech, then tzarech v'ein a tzarech is a tzarech. Say that 10 times. And the bottom line is, says the Gemara, even though at first glance it's not so clear what the nafkamina is, there actually is a nafkamina, Tanu Rabbanan, a braisa that elaborates on the halacha of the Mishnah. So again, it says in the Torah, v'shafach es damai v'chisahu. Yachol, you would have thought yichasenu bavanim, that if you want to be mechasa with stones, that's okay. Or you could just take a keli and flip it over and cover it. Talmud loy me ba'offer. No, it has to be offer. V'ein li ela offer. Okay, maybe it has to be offer. Minayin l'rabbis, how do I know zevel hadak? V'chayil hadak. How do I know fine zevel or fine sand? U'shchikas avonim. Or if somebody would take stones and he would grind them. U'shchikas charsis. Or if somebody would grind earthenware. Una oiris pishtan daka. So these are the little parts of the flax that come out of the flax when you process it. Or you have a smith who's working with wood and there's these little chips of wood that come off. Visid or lime, vicharsis, which is also ground earthenware. Or if you have a brick, or if you have a cover of a keli that was crushed. How do you know all these things are also included? Talmud Loimrat says, vichisahu. Vichisahu is a ribuy, so not only offer, vichisahu, but offer anything that you want to be mechasa is going to be okay. Yochel, I would have thought, I would say, okay, the chisol is being marba. It sounds like we're open for business. So let's be marba even more. So I would think, avzevel hagas, v'choil hagas, u'tshchikas klimatches, or if somebody grinds a metal keli, which doesn't grind so finely, u'levena, u'megufa, she'loikachan, v'kemach, v'subin, flour, fine flour, less fine flour, u'mursin, this is some of the byproduct of wheat that was given to the behemoths. Maybe those should be included as well. Tamalim ba'afar. No, it says ba'afar. Has to be similar to offer. Those things are not similar to offer. Therefore, they're going to be excluded. Says the Gemara, how do you know what's similar to offer, what's not similar to offer? Matt Royce, the rabbi says, Eilul Hoitzias Eil. I don't know, they all sound pretty similar to me. So Gemara says, no, Ach, Ribakas of a Mi'at. Meaning that we have a ribuy and we have a Mi'at. The ribuy is v'chiso, inclusive. Ba'afar is exclusive. It's a myth. Marbani es elusha min offer. These things are similar to offer. Umoitziani es elusha min offer. They're not similar to offer. Now, what makes the first group similar to offer and the second group not similar to offer? Refer back to the Mishnah. Klal Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, right? Because really, this Bryce is just a more elaborate version of the Mishnah. Refer back to the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, the first group are things that could be Megadol Tzmachim. If you could be Megadol Tzmachim, that's similar to Afur, where you could be Megadol Tzmachim, that's going to be included. The latter groups are things that are Megadol Tzmachim, hence they're different, and therefore they are going to be excluded. So the bottom line is, as it relates to the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, it says, V'shafach es damoy v'chisahu ba'afar. V'chisahu is marba, any dover she'magadol b'itzmachim, ba'afar is memayit any dover that's not megadol smach. If you think about this Gemara, without looking weiter, it's a pella. Right? In Kala Tayrakula, if you would have this formulation, V'chisahu ba'afar, how would you view it? Yud gemu midah shatayr in the drashas mem. Which midah is this? It's a klal uprat. V'chiso is a klal. You can be mechasu in anything. Ba'afar is a prat. Ein bechlal ela masha beprat. Freit the Gemara. Riboyne da alma kula. Ein v'chiso klal. Be'afar prat. Klal uprat. Ein bechlal ela masha beprat. Afar in midah achri niloy. How is this not the most textbook example of a klal uprat? Here it says v'chiso ba'afar. You can't be marba anything dumi da'afar. When are you marba something that's dumi da'afar? When it's a klal prat to klal, then you say ein b'chlal ela kein masha v'prat. Any da'afar shemagal abayit smachim, you'll tell me it's kein da'afar. But when the Torah says a klal uprat, ein b'chlal ela masha v'prat. So how in the world can you be marba anything other than offer anything other than the prat? Amr Amoris. Amoris said a very important halach in the sugi of klal uprat, and that is mishum da'hav klal hatzarech l'prat. This klal is a klal that needs a prat. V'chol klal atzarech l'prat. Anytime the klal needs a prat, in donen oisay b'klal uprat, it doesn't get treated like a klal uprat. The only time something's a klal uprat is when you didn't need the prat. The prat was included in the klal. In fact, the klal had in it way, way more than the prat. So then we say the prat comes to be memait and mitigate what you would have taken out of the klal. But when the klal daf unkum into the prat, when I can't understand the klal without a prat, that's not a klal or prat. That's a different Shulchan Aruch. And it's for that reason the Gemara was able to do what it does. Now, what does that mean? Klal atzarech l'prat, klal she'ein tzarech l'prat. And why would our klal be a klal atzarech l'prat? So I think it's kedai to read l'shoinoi hazov shal Rashi inside. So this Rashi is Dibra Maschel, klal atzarech l'prat. D'loi sagilei l'klal b'loi prata. This klal of v'chiso would not be explanatory had we not had a prat. Why? D'yaviksev v'chiso. Because had it said just v'chiso, have a mashma, I would have thought, yich ba'olav es hakli, maybe you can take a keli and just put it on top of the blood and cover it that way. Kidik tani reisha. Like the Reisha mentions, meaning we find the Havamina that maybe you should be able to do that. The Itzderich Afar, therefore I need the word Afar, Lahoyrois, She'en Kisui Zeh, that Kisui is not a good Kisui. But rather, a Kisui needs to be Bedover HaMesari B'Nivlobai, where I'm not just covering, but I'm actually changing, I'm mixing something, I'm intermingling something with the thing that I'm trying to make go away. Right, it's two ways to make something go away. You can, you know, proverbially hide it under the rug. It's there, you're just making believe, you don't see it. I'm turning a blind eye, I'm just looking the other way. Or you can physically alter this thing that you're trying to make go away, you can quash it. You can extinguish that demon and get rid of it in a real way, in a meaningful way. Had the Torah just said v'chiso, I wouldn't know which is which. I wouldn't know if the Torah is saying maybe it's enough to just cover it, or maybe I actually have to go ahead and do something about it. So the Torah needs to tell me now, what type of kisui I mean when I say kisui? You know what type of kisui I mean? I mean a v'chiso ba'afar. I mean a kisui where I'm not just putting it under the rug, but a kisui where I'm doing something to the dam to make the actual dam go away. Being that I need a gilui in what the definition of kisui over here means, I don't view it as an ordinary prat, and therefore I don't say this is a klal uprat in b'chlal el masha b'prat. Says Rashi, v'chidai nina le b'klal uprat. When do I say klal uprat and in b'chlal el masha b'prat? That's hecha de klal ulei mishtame el b'chad inyot. That's where I know what the yisoid of the klal is. Nervous. If I only had the klal, I'd be marbi mili tuva. I'd be marbi everything. V'hadar asi prat. So when there's a prat, the prat comes. Limute, it's coming to me memayit. Kol mili the klal. Everything else that I would have included in the klal. Aval hach over here. The mishtama klal betrayin yoni. But over here where the klal itself is lacking in hasbara, because it can mean two things. Beis kisuyin, it could be two types of kisuyin she'ein doimim zelazeh. Could go in kisuy dover sholin, could go in kli. V'kisuy dover dak, kemoyin afar. Sulay asi prata elo lefrushi kisuy kama delav bedover sholim hu. V'lav lemute lagami. I look at the word afar as just telling me what type of kisui, but not telling me how the kisui has to be. Where the klal is explanatory, I know exactly what the klal is trying to tell me. It's just very marble. Then I say the prat was coming to knock out everything I would have included from the klal in the klal. Ella, masha beprat. But I need a little bit of assistance to understand the taich of the word. Kiso can mean shove it under the rug. Kiso can mean do something to it, mix it with something else so that substance is no longer there because it was nisarev with a davar acher. If the prat now is a gili on one of those two things, so then what I say is the reason the Torah told me the prat was not to be memayit everything else from the cloud, but it's to just angle me and channel me how I should be defining the word kisoy. The bottom line is not a klal prat, and that's why if I care, we could be marba way more than the prat. It's a very thought-provoking Rashi and idea. We know klalu prat, klal prat to klal. There's even the prat, klalu prat, ribuy miyat ribuy, right? You have all the different variables, but this is a klal at sarich leprat versus the klal she'enoit sarich leprat. Nice maramokim and yudgim umidah shatern addresses by and tucked away here in Chulin Daf Peches on the base. Either way, Doris Rav Nachum Bar Rav Chizda. Rav Nachum Bar Chizda said the following drasha in mechasin ela b'davash tzayim b'yom matzmiach. The only time you can be mechasa is if the thing that you're using is something you could be zayreya and you could plant in it umatzmiach and something is actually going to grow. Now who said this? Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Chizda. At first glance, what's he saying? We know this already. Isn't that the Mishnah? Rav Shimon Gamliel said it in the Mishnah. Anytime it's a davar shematzmiach, you could include it. The chiddush of Rav Nachman Rav Chizda, Kimavur, and Rashi, and the Gemara we're about to learn, is that even if you have offer, Torah says offer is good. That's not negotiable. But it's such an offer that nothing's going to grow, it's not going to be okay. What's an example of that? Like offer in the midbar. In the midbar, that's an eretz loy zaruah. So if you wanted a plant over there, nothing's going to grow. So in the event that you have offer, but nothing can grow in the offer, even that's not going to be okay. So Rava heard this, and Amar Rava, Rava commented, and he said, Hai burcha, which in English means, that's shtusim. Rashi says, Eino Iker, a little finer. Losh, pun intended. Loshoin Bor, right? Lady, come on. That doesn't make any sense. Hai Borcha, that's ridiculous. Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was there, and he told Rava, my Borcha say, by the way, assuming Rav Nachman is the son of Rav Chizda, we know Rava is the son-in-law of Rav Chizda. So who did he say Hai Borcha to? Don't try this at home. He said this to his shvager. But the bottom line is, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was there, I think. And he told Rava, and he said, my Borcha say, it's not shtusim. As a matter of fact, Rav Nachman said, I'm the one who told this to Rav Nachman Rav Chizda, and it wasn't even my own chiddush. And I was saying it based on a braisa. Here's the braisa. Somebody was traveling in the midbar, and he doesn't have any offer to do kisi adam. So there's two. Here's an option. Shoychek dinar zav. Take out a gold coin, right? What you do with your gold coin in the midbar, anyways? Umechasne and crush it. And after you crush, you'll be able to mechas. If somebody was on a boat, faintly off of lechasleis, soyrif talis or mechasa, you could burn your talis and do it that way. Said Rav Nachman Yitzchak, how's it possible someone's in the midbar? He has no way to do kisei adam. He's being sheichik his gold. Like, what would be the issue? You have all the offer in the world. If there's anything you have in the midbar, it's offer. So what's the right, the sand in the midbar? So what in the world is the issue? Oh, vice noise, because it's an eretz loy zaruah. It has to be a dover shezayru bayu matzmiach. So Nachman Yitzchak told Rava, don't make lutzanas from the shvager. This is something that I told him. I backed it up from a braisa. This is really the way it is. Now, we just mentioned this braisa, that somebody's in the midbar, he doesn't have a way to do kisi adam, take your gold and start grinding it, and you're going to use your gold. If someone's on a sfin of Engle Yafal Lechasis, you could be Seirif Talisai. So the Gemara says like this, Bishlam is Seirif Talisai Mechasa. I understand if somebody is Seirif Talisai and he wants to use it for Kisei Adam, it makes sense that it should work. Because Ashkechon Efer de Ikri Offer. You find that Efer is called Offer. So for sure this is going to work. Because when you're Seirif Talisai, what you have is Efer, and Efer we know is called Offer. And being that we know Efer is called Offer, so it's Poshit that based on that, this would work. Ela dinar zav minalan. But as it relates to a dinar zav, Why should it work? Now, what's the background to this kasha? Up until this point, we've been saying that when is something kasha v'kisei adam? Something is kasha v'kisei adam if it's a davar shematzmiach. So, here's if it's called offer, it's not called offer. So the Rishonim discuss this. And the Rishonim say that it's mavur in this gemara, that even if you have a davar that's not matzmiach, but if the Torah calls it offer, it's for sure going to be okay. Because the Torah says v'chisol ba'offer. So as long as it's called offer, it's going to be okay. If you find mefurish that the Torah called it offer, that in and of itself is going to be fine. So the Gemara's kasha is that I understand Soyrif Talisa, even though you're going to be left with ashes and, you know, try to make something grow in ashes, you're not going to get very far. But at the same time, you find the Torah refers to Efer as offer. Being that the Torah refers to Efer as offer, by the way, where do you find it? It says by the parish of the Parah Aduma, V'lokchu la'tameh me'afar sreifa sachatas. So based on that, it's going to be okay. El adiner zav minalon. But adiner zav, as far as we're concerned, is not a dovish matzmiach. It's not, as far as we're concerned, ever referred to as offer. So how is it going to be okay? I'm Rab Zera. Rab Zera said, it says in the Torah, it's pasuk in Iyov, v'afrois zahav lai. Oh, so you find zav and offer placed together. So really what emerges from this last gemara is that in as much as up until now, when are you allowed to use something for kisei adam if it's a davar shematzmiach, but at the same time, if it's called offer, then for sure it's going to be correct. Because the Torah says v'chisol ba'offer. And therefore, efer, even if it's davar she'ena matzmiach, but the Torah calls it offer, and even afrei zahav, would mean that a din azav that you went ahead and you ground, that also would be okay. Tan Rabban, a brayse, ein mechasa nala ba'afer. You only be mechasa with afer. Divi b'shamay. Beisul, oimrim, matzinu efer shakari afer. No, efer is also good. Shenemar, because it says, v'alok chulatami ma'afar srefe sachatas v'goymer. B'shamay, afer srefe. B'shamay says, I know you find that in the Torah that efer is called afer, but it's referred to not as afer stam. It's referred to as afer srefe. But afer stam, you don't find anywhere that it's referred to as afer stam, and being that you don't find anywhere that it's referred to as afar stama, so therefore it's actually not going to be okay. Tana, one more braisa, hoisifu aleihem. The chachamim were moina on and added to the list of all the things that we said is kosher for kisei adam, hashachar, Rashi says shachar are coals or charcoal, v'hakchol, that's a certain type of makeup that women used to wear, v'nikras pisulin, these are the fine stones that you would find near the millstones, v'yeshaimim, and some say af hazarnik, zarnik as well. What is zarnik? Rashi says orpiment, which by the way is what it's referred to in English as well, and this is some sort of dye, and these things were all added to the list of things that one would be allowed to use for kisei hadam, exhale. So not the hardest stuff in Shas, but as it relates to raid, I think it's kedai to go back to some raid that we left on the table last week. That is the Gemara on Daf Peivav on the days told a story. Rab Abba braid Rab Chia Bar Abba v'Rab Zera have kaimed b'shuket de kisri apiske de be'medrasha. Rab Abba, who was the son of Rab Chia Bar Abba, and Rab Zera were once standing in the Shuk of Kisri at the entranceway of the Beis Medrash. The Gemara says that Rab Ami walked outside and he saw them standing there. And he says, why are you standing here? Didn't I tell you that while we're learning, you shouldn't be standing here? Why? Because maybe there's someone that's going to have a question and you're too goyim. We need you in Beis Medrash. Either way, Rab Zera entered the Beis Medrash. Rab Abba braid Rab Chia Bar Abba went home. The question was asked, and Rab Zera said, it's such a chaval, you didn't tell me what the question was when Rab Abba braid Rab Chia Bar Abba was here, because it could be he knew the answer from his father, Rab Chia Bar Abba, who was a Talmud Muvuk of Rab Yochanan. But the Gemara says that Rab Abba braid Rab Chia Bar Abba and Rab Zera were once standing in the Shuk de Kisri at the entranceway of the Beis Medrash. What came to mind was a Gemara Masechtes Brachos, Daf Chof Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Rab Zera, ki ha v'cholosh migirsei. When Rab Zera was sick and it was difficult for him to learn, ha v'ozel v'yosef ha'pischa d'Rab Nosson Bar Tuvi. He would go and he would sit at the entranceway of the Beis Medrash of Rab Nosson Bar Tuvi. Amar, he said the following, Ki chalfi Rabbanon, when the Rabbanon are going to come in and out of the Beis Medrash, Oz Eikam Mikamayu, I'll stand up for them, Va'kabal Agra, and like this I'll be able to get schar for being Mechaber Talmid HaChacham. Reb Zeira was sick, he couldn't learn, but he wanted to have some Shaychus to Torah. So he said, if I can't learn, what's the next best thing you could do? You could be Mechaber Talmid HaChachamim. Some level of achsachas haTorah. See, he said, let me sit at the entrance way of the Beis Medrash. Ki chalfi Rabbanan, I'm going to get up for them. And by me doing that, akabal agra, I'll get schar, maybe not for learning, but I'll get schar for being mechaber talmid chacham. Rabbi Kiva Eger and Gilyan Hashas, on that Gemara in Brachas Chav Ches Amin Aleph, he's mitzayin another Gemara. This Gemara is the Mesechtes Erevin, also Dav Chav Ches. On midbeis, Reb Zeira, ki avicholish migirsei. Reb Zeira, when he was sick and he couldn't learn, have a ozel v'yosef apischad Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ami. He would go and he would sit at the door of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ami, his base medrash. Omar, he said, ki nafki v'aydu rabbanon. When the rabbanon go in and out, ikam mikamayu, I'm going to stand up for them. Va'akabu agro, and like this, I'll be able to get schar. It's almost verbatim the same Gemara. With the difference being, in Brachas Chav Ches Amar Aleph, Rab Zeir is sitting at the entranceway of Rab Nosan Bar Tuvi, and over here in Erevin Chav Ches Amar Beis, it's Rab Yitzchak Bar Ami. And of course, I think it's an obvious sushtal to our Gemara here in Chulin Pei Vav Amar Beis, where you find, again, that Rab Zeir was, in this case he wasn't sitting, he was actually standing, but he was standing at the entranceway of the Beis Medrash of Rab Ami. And L'chura, the reason he was doing it in Chulin Pei Vav Amar Beis is probably related to the same reason he was doing it in Brachas Chav Ches and Erevin Chav Ches. And that is, it's Yitachin, it was related to the fact that he was Chalosh Migirsei, it was difficult for him to learn. See, he's not in Beis Medrash Kachin with the Olam. So what is he doing? He's in front of the Beis Medrash. Why is he in the front of the Beis Medrash? Like this, Akabal Agra, I'll get Schar for being Mechabit Talmid Chacham. Over the years, we've mentioned several times that the Helig of Bnei Yisachar, and this is in Chodesh Sivan, it's Maimer He, it's Eis Yudalit. He asks a very obvious kash on this Gemara. Reb Zeira said that I can't learn. So the next best thing is, let me be Mechabit Talmid HaChachamim. What am I going to do? I'm going to stand at the entrance way of the Beis Medrash, like this, when the Talmid HaChachamim, they come in and out, I'll get up for them. Va'akabal agra, I'll get schar. Freit the Bnei Yisachar. Reb Zeira wants to be Mechabit Talmid HaChachamim to get schar. You want to be Mechaber Talmid HaChachamim, to have a Shaychus to Torah, to be Mekayim, the grace and mitzvah of being Mechaber Talmid HaChachamim, some level of Achzakas HaTorah, obviously. But Va'akabel Agra, it's a Mishnah Novice, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. Al Tiyu Kavodim HaMasham Shinesarav HaManas L'Kabel Pras, El Lehevu Kavodim HaMasham Shinesarav, Shiloy HaManas L'Kabel Pras. Zog Tibnei Yisoschor Dover Nifla. He said that it's Mavur in the Zohar HaKadosh. Now, what's the schar that a person gets for standing up for a Talmud Chacham? The Pasuk says it's in Parshas Kedoshim. Mipnei seva takum, v'hadarta pnei zakein, v'yoreso me'alekecha ani Hashem. Says the Bnei Yisachar, quoting the Zohar HaKadosh. Mipnei seva takum, you should get up for an older person. V'hadarta pnei zakein, and you should do the same for a Talmud Chacham. And if you're going to do that, I'm going to reward you. You know what the reward is going to be? V'yoreso me'alekecha, you'll be zoicha to Yerushamayim. Yerushamayim is the reward, zok to Bnei Yisachar, quoting the Zohar HaKadosh. It's the schar for a person that's Mekayim Ipnei Seva Takum, for somebody that's Mekayim Vodart Ipnei Zakin. Zok to Bnei Yisachar. Al Tiyu Kavodim HaMasham Shinas HaRab HaManas L'Kabu Pras. But that's when the pras is a reward. Bahay Alma. Ba'alma Da'asi. But when the reward is V'yoreisa Me'alikecha. Ki Zek Kala Adam. Where a person's job in this world is to have Yerushamayim. It's the one thing that's in his control. Akol bidei Shamayim chutz mi Yerushamayim. You have to and you should do anything you could possibly do to try to achieve Yerushamayim. Being that the reward for getting off of Talmid HaChacham is v'yoreisim alaykecho, Reb Zeira had a right to say v'akabal agro. This is not included in the Mishnah of Altiyu Kavadam HaMasham Shinasarav HaManas L'Kabal Pras. V'al azazort agro, azazort pras, fakerd, hevu kavadim HaMeshamshen HaSarav Al Menas L'Kabal Pras. And then the Bnei Yisachar said a davar nifla. If you take a look at that Mishnah, The Mishnah says, "Al tiu kavodim amshamshen esrav amanasa kavu pras elahevu kavodim amshamshen esaras shalei amanasa kavu pras." And as the Mishnah end, "Vihi meiru shamayim aleichem." And if you take a look at the Rab Bartanura, the Rishonim, they all struggle. What's pashim shad in the safe of that Mishnah? Vukum teserayin. It's based on Avos Rab Nosson, Antignos Ishsoicha. You had two Talmidim. You might have heard of them, Tzaduk and Baisos, and they took this Mishnah and they distorted it, and terrible things happened. And that's pashim shad. Why the Mishnah threw in these words, "Vihi meiru shamayim." It said the Bnei Saschar, Al Pi Anal Yesh Loim. What the Mishnah is coming to say that in as much as it's true, Al Kiyu Kavodim Am Shamshen Esrav Am Anas Lekabu Pras. Oh, but Vihi Meir Shemayim Aleichem. If there's a mitzvah where the schar is Yir Shemayim, such as Mipnei Seva Talkim Vadar to Bnei Zokim, then Hevu Kavodim Am Shamshen Esrav Am Anas Lekabu Pras. And that's Pshat in Reb Zera in Brachas Chavches and Reb Zera in Erevin Chavches. That's what was going on over here. Either way. Dvarim, Neflaim, and somewhat Nifursamim from the Halig of Bnei Yisachar. I found on Shabbos that Hagoyin Hagadol, Rav David Yoel Weiss Shlita, in his Megadim Chadashim and Parshas Kedoshim, on this pasuk has incredible arichos on this inyan of Rav Zeira sitting a pischa de Midrasha and of the Bnei Yisachar's Pirish, that he did it kedei lekabel schar, although the Mishnah Nova says you're not supposed to do it because that's the end of the Mishnah. Vihi meiru shamayim aleichem. That's what the reward for this is. Incidentally, at the beginning of the piece, Rav David Yoel Weiss says that even though the Bnei Yisachar says this in the name of the Zohar HaKadosh, he says that we don't have this anywhere in our Zohar. It's interesting. He says the Chida in his Sfarim in many different places quotes this idea, and when the Chida quotes it, he doesn't quote it b'shem the Zohar, probably because the Chida, like us, didn't have it in the Zohar. But he always brings it in the name of the Charedim, who says it in the name of Chazal. W.I.Y. says, he looked up the Charedim inside. The Charedim says this exact idea, that the reward for someone who's Mekayim Mipnei Seva Tokim Vadar to Bnei Zokin is V'Yareis Melekecho, he's going to be Zoichet Tir Shemayim. And the Charedim says, Hochi Isa B'Medrash Rabba, Ubi Yerushalmi Ve'Viyai HaRitva B'Perakama De Kedusha. It's a Medrash Rabba, it's also a Yerushalmi, and the Ritva brings in a Perakama De Kedusha. Now, as it relates to the Medrash Rabba, Zokar David Yoel Weiss, he's referring to the Medrash in Parshas Ba'al Oischa, it's Perak Tez Vav Yud Zayin. Omer Rab Abba Koyim Bar Papa. K'sha Yisi Roya Siya Shabnei Adam, when I used to see a group of people, Ho Yisi Hoylech B'Derech Acheres, I wanted to go in a different way. Shaloy La'atriach Aleyem. Because I'm a rabbi, and I know when I walk into the room, everyone's going to stand up for me. I don't want to be matrich, everyone to have to get up. I told this over to Rabbi Yitzchak Zvido. You know what he told me? You're making a mistake. Let them stand up for you. You're going to give them Yerushalayim. So this is a Medrash Rabba, and it's poshnit. This is the Medrash Rabba that the Haredim was referring to. He said, but as it relates to the Yerushalmi, again, there's not a lot of people in the world that could do this. As it relates to the Yerushalmi, he says, I don't know of such a Yerushalmi. And he says the Ritva Perakama, the Kedushin, quotes this Yerushalmi. I never found the Ritva either. He says, but I'm going to tell you what I did find. I found that the Tosfos Rid, also in the first Perakim Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, brings this B'shem a Medrash Yilamdenu. Right, there's something called a Medrash Yilamdenu. And he says, it's Pasha to me, it's Barer, that there's a Toy Sofer in the Charedim. That the Charedim didn't mean B'Medrash Rabba, Ubi Yerushalmi, Ve'eviu HaRitva B'Perakam the Kedushin. What he meant was B'Medrash Rabba, Ubi Yilamdenu, Ve'eviyoi harid, as in the Tosfos Rid. There's no such Yerushalmi, there's no such Ritva, but there is a Yilamdenu, and there is a Tosfos Rid. And by the way, Tosfos Rid is Beper Kama de Kedusha, where the Charedim says it is. He says, Pashat, that's what's going on over here. He says, my only hara is, it's also a Tanchuma. So how come the Charedim only brought the Medrash Rabba, he didn't also bring the Tanchuma? So it's not a Zohar HaKadosh, it's not a Yerushalmi, and it's not in the Ritva. That's the bad news. The good news is, it is a Medrash Rabba. It's a Medrash Yilamdenu. It's brought down in the Tosfos Rid. And by the way, it's also a Medrash Tanchuma. But the bottom line is, there is such an idea. There's an idea, Mipnei Seva talking about Arta Pnei Zokin, and what's the schar for that? The schar is V'Yareisim Elokecha. In the course of this piece, Rav David Yoel Weiss says that although the two Mefursim de Gemara Mekoymes for Abzeira did, you know, where he explained why he did what he did, sitting up Pischa de Bei Midrash when he was sick. He did a Kedei L'Kabel Schar. That's what this whole Bnei Yisrael was based on. He says, but you find other places where Reb Zeira is sitting in the entranceway of the Beis Medrash. He quotes our Gemara. He says, you find it also in Masechta Shabbos, Taf Kufchaf Aleph on the base. Rabbi Abba Breid, Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, like in our Gemara, V'Rab Zeira Haviyasvi Akila de Rab Yana. It's also Gemara Psochem Ayin Beis on the base. Yosef Rab Zeira, Rab Shmuel Bar Rab Yitzchak, Akila de Rab Shmuel Bar Rab Yitzchak. It's always somewhere else. But the bottom line is, we have literally five Gemaras in Shas, where Rab Zeira is sitting at Pischa de Bimidrasha. Brochis Chavches, we have Erevin Chavches, we have Chulin Pei Vav, we have Shabbos Kuf Chaf Aleph, we have Psochem Ayin Beis, and it's Poshit said Agoyin Agadu Rab David Yoel Shlita, that it's all this Avoida Rab Zeira. Rab Zeira Ki Avicholish Nigirse, he would sit at Pischa de Bei Medrasha, Kidei that he should be Mekabel Schar. This is the first half of this piece of Megadim Chadashim. By the way, if you have Megadim Chadashim, it's highly recommended to see it inside. I would go through it from the first word of the piece to the last word of the piece. It's Mamish Kedai. There's so much goingness there. It's Nishna Mal. But the bottom line is, here's the second half. Zokt Reb David Yoel. I was thinking about it. It has to be. If Reb Zeira, you find five times in Chas, had this Hanhaga Teufa, where he did something Kedai to be Mekabel Yerushamayim, it must have worked. It must have worked, right? Why is Reb Zeira sitting at Pischa de Bei Medrasha? He's doing it to be Mekabel Yerushamayim. That's the Taitcha, the Helag of Bnei Yisaschar, based on the Inyan that you find very much in Chazal. So it's Yitochen and it's Mistaber then that Reb Zeira would have reached a Madrega of Yerushamayim that would be Ba'ofen Muflag. It says, Reb David Yoel, that if you know where to look, you would find that that's exactly what happened. I'm just going to mention a few of his Maror Mekoyimus. The first is, the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Yudalad Amad Aleph, Kisamchu Reb Zeira, when they gave Reb Zeira smicha, Sharulei, everybody sang for him. Right? This is old school. They composed the song for the incoming musmach. And they said as follows, Loi kechal, v'loi srak, v'loi pirchus v'yal eschein. Sheker achein v'hevel ayoyfi, right? A person is not gonna be Molei Chen because of physical attributes that he has. But rather, Chen comes from a whole nother source. Why they sing this song for Reb Zeira? So it's based on an idea that you find in different Gemaras, that Reb Zeira wasn't so handsome physically, and as a result, even though he's about to give this honor, and you know, maybe they would have expected somebody more imposing to walk through the door, but they saying, no, that's not what chen comes from. So Reb Zeira had incredible chen, but he didn't have the natural qualities that usually would lead to the sum total of which would be chen. And that was the nigga that they say. So says Reb David Yoel, where does chen taka come from? It's a Gemara in Sukkah Mem Tes Amud Beis. Kol Adam Sheyesh Olav Chen, B'yodua Shu Yari Shemayim, Shnei Mechesed Hashem, M'yoyle V'adoyle Mal Yireya. Chen comes from Yari Shemayim. So Reb Zeira didn't really have what it took to have natural chen. His chen was a gift. Who gets the gift of chen? Kol Adam Sheyesh Olav Chen, B'yodua Shu Yari Shemayim. This is a raya that Reb Zeira had Yari Shemayim. Good. Another Maramachim. A Gemara in Chulin coming up, Tav Kuf Chav Bezam and Aleph. The Gemara over there says that Reb Zeira was Mechaside de Bavel. Lashon HaGemara. Rashi says a little bit of a pshat, why Reb Zeira would have been referred to as Chaside de Bavel. Azok Reb David Yoel. Yesh Loimar, a different pshat. Why Reb Zeira would have been referred to as Chaside de Bavel? Because there's another Gemara, Megillah Chav Chesam Beis, that describes Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak as Chasidei de Bavel. Rashi over there, Megillah Chav Chesam Beis says, why was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Chasidei de Bavel? Zok Tehilga Rashi, the Kama B'Soita Mem Tesam Beis, the very last Gemara Masechta Soita. So if you remember, the Mishnah said, Mishameis Rebbe, Batlo Anova V'Yir Aschet. Omer Rav Yosef, Leitisni Anova De'ika Anon. What do you mean, there's no more humble people? What about me? I'm humble, right? The greatest oxymoron of all time. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, like tisni yirascheit. Don't say there's no more yirascheit. Ti ikana, because I'm a yorecheit. Zok Rashi, you want to know why Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak was referred to as Chasidei de Bavel? Because he said on himself, like tisni yirascheit ti ikana. Chasidei de Bavel means the yorecheit. Zok, that's half of a fellow. Rav Zeira is referred to as Chasidei de Bavel. And the way Rashi was megalitos, albeit not on that Gemara in Chulin Kuf Chapes, but in the Gemara Megillah Chav Peches, that what's the title of Chassidei de Bavel, Yiras Chetzer, Reb Zeira was zoicha to this appellation of Chassidei de Bavel. Why was he zoicha to that? Because of the fact that he has this incredible Yiras Chet. You see, this is something that he was striving for so much, and it was Neskayim Biyotah, and that's why he goes down as being from the Chassidei de Bavel. Here's another Gemara. This Gemara Masechtes Nida Daf Chav Gimel Amanaf. This is a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says Reb Yirmiyah once asked Reb Zeira a question. Reb Yirmiyah was a Talmud of Reb Zeira. And he asks Reb Zeira a question. And the Gemara says it was a very funny question, literally. And the reason he was asking a funny question, no, literally, not proverbially, literally, is because he was trying to get Reb Zeira to laugh. So he asked him something funny. And it didn't work. In fact, the Lashon HaGemara is that Ad Kan Hevir Reb Yirmiyah LeReb Zeira Lidei Gichuch V'Loi Gachach. He said he tried so hard to get him to laugh. It was a case where a woman gave birth to a child that looks like a behema, and there's a shayla and yevamis of achasisha. I mean, this is like the Reb Yirmiyah Yibay of all Reb Yirmiyah Yibayas. And the bottom line is he's doing it to try to get him to laugh. He couldn't get him to laugh. Parenthetically, we spoke this out once in the past. Maratzchias says something on that gemara that Maratzchias didn't say. You mamish couldn't say. So we're going to say this be'ema be'yira be'reses u'be'zeya. But zok to Maratzchias, he says, I wonder if all the bias that you find for Reb Yirmiyah and Shas, where it's by Reb Yirmiyah, maybe this was his kivon. We have one gemara. Dovah shahoyah b'chlal v'yotzman ha'chlal l'lamed. Lo'yalatzmai. But rather, la'chlal kula. He's coming to be l'lamed on the whole klal. And all these by Reb Yirmiyah is that sometimes, you know, we try to hide that little smirk, that grin to come out of the corner of our lips. Zok Maratzchias, what some people might have been thinking, that could be he was doing this literally to either bring Reb Zeira Lidei Gichuch or to very least bring some into the Gichuch. But it's Lashon HaGemara. Now, the emphasis is like this. This is another Gemara. This Gemara is in Brachas Daf Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara says Reb Yirmiyah was once sitting in front of Reb Zeira, Vavah Kabadach Tufa. And Reb Yirmiyah was like very happy. He was very besimcha. But you see Reb Yirmiyah's personality. It's fascinating. He was Badach Tufa. All these Yibayas. Everything's with a geschmack and with a pump. But the bottom line is he was Badach Tufa. Amudi Reb Zeira. So Reb Zeira looks at Reb Yirmiyah and he tells him, don't you know Shlomo HaMelech said, B'chol Otzev Yiyah Moiser. You're supposed to be Ungesetz. You're supposed to be Ba'atzvus. You're not supposed to be Besimcha. Like, what are you doing? So Reb Yirmiyah responded to Reb Zeira and he told him, you don't have to worry. I'm not Tfilin Manachno. I'm wearing Tfilin now. And because I'm wearing Tfilin now, I'm going to be okay. If you take a look at Rashi, and if you take a look at the Haggois from the Marshal, Zok Reb David Yoyel Shlita, it's Mavur that Reb Zeira told Reb Yirmiyah, how could you laugh? A Yid has to have Yiras Shamayim. You have to be locked in. You have to have you can't go ahead and laugh. Said Reb Yirmiyah, the fact that I'm Badach Tuva now is not a problem because I'm wearing tefillin. And Rashi's Lashon is, it's not a precus oil. It's not a lack of Yerushalayim, the fact that I'm Badach Tuva right now because I'm wearing my tefillin. But Reb Zeira couldn't laugh. He was always Bechol Otsev Yiyah Moiser. He was always so errant, and it came from a place of Yerushalayim. This is Reb Zeira's incredible level of Yerushalayim that he had. Another Maramakam, another idea that Reb David Yoyel Shlita says. The Gemara says in Brachas Nun Zayin Amad Aleph, Harayas Oyrim B'chalayim, if somebody sees barley in a dream, so you go to sleep and you dream of barley, right? Maybe dreaming of chant, but, right? You dream of barley. That's what you dreamed of. So, Saru Avaynoich Snuff, it means that his Averis went away. Shenema, the Pasuk says, V'sar Avaynich V'chatoseich Tuchup. Says the Gemara, Amir Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira said, Anolay Salkim Bavel Eretz Yisrael. So Reb Zeira was famously from the Oilei Bavel. He went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And he said, I didn't go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael ad chazoy sairi b'chalma, until I dreamed of Sairim. When I saw barley in a dream, I knew it was safe for me to go to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi over there says, because Reb Zeira felt he can't go to Eretz Yisrael unless you're on a madrig of purity. And until he had a simon from Shemayim that his averos were forgiven, he saw barley b'chalayim, so till then he wasn't willing to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Reb Zeira was very worried about his averos. He doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael until he sees barley. What happened when Reb Zeira came to Eretz Yisrael? It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Asoichas HaPayalim, the classic Agadot Gemaras, in the end of Masechtas Bava Metziah. The Gemara says that Reb Zeira kisolik l'aradi Yisrael. When Reb Zeira arrived in Eretz Yisrael, Yosef Me'atanisa, he fasted 100 fasts, the l'shtakach Gemara Bavla Mineh, that he should forget Talmud Bavli. Yasim Me'ach Ranisa, he fasted another 100 fasts, like Lishkav Rabbi Lazar B'Shneit. Rabbi Lazar, who was a Chayla, he shouldn't die during his lifetime. V'yasim Me'ach Rina, and he fasted another 100 Tanesim, D'loi Nishloit Be'nura de Gehenim. That one day, Gehenim should not be able to be shailot in him. In fact, the Gemara says, Kol Talsin Yoimi, every 30 days, have a bodik nafshne. He would be bodik himself. What would he do? Shagar Tanura, he would light up a fire. Solik, he would go into the fire for Yosef Begave, and he would sit in it for they have his shalta beinura. And every time he did this, the H couldn't get the better of him until one time Yovel Rabban and Eina, he got a 900, and then the H chapped him and it burnt his thigh, and that's what they used to refer to him as, the cotton that was charech shake, which is part of what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that they sang like chal v'loy v'yalushay. But the bottom line is, Reb Zeira was afraid to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why isn't he afraid to go to Eretz Yisrael? Because maybe he has averus, but then he saw barley b'chalayim and he knows the klal. So he goes. Okay, so you would think Reb Zeira is comfortable. He's confident now. He knows he doesn't have averus. He fasts 100 tanesim. Why do I nishlet beinur de gehenim? He still thinks he has averus. Okay, so you fast every 30 days. He goes into a fire to see whether or not nur de gehenim is going to be shalot him. But the truth is even more than that. Because that Gemara that we mentioned earlier, that Reb Zeira got smicha, right before that the Gemara says, Reb Zeira have a metamal mismeche. Right, in Babel they didn't give smicha. Reb Zeira comes to Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to give him smicha. And he didn't want to take it. He wasn't interested in smicha. Then he heard Rabbi Loza said, "Ein adam oyla l'gdula, ela im kei moichlan oyal kol avinoysav." He says, oh, I'm going to get mechilas avoynis? Now already I want the smicha. Reb Zeira doesn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael until he knows he got kaparas avoynis. When he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he fasts 100 tanesim. Why? To make sure he's, by now for sure he has kaparas avoynis. But still, now he's going to do something he doesn't want to do. Why? It's to get kaparas avoynis. Zok Reb David Yoel, Hostigizen Azayiras Shemayim, Azayiras Chet, such a Yiras Chet. He needs to see the Sodom. And then when he finally goes, even that's not enough. An incredible madrig of Yerushay. Where did Reb Zeira come through to this Yerushay? He got it because he got the schar for Yerushay Melekecha. This was something he wanted. You see how badly he wants it, and it was something that he was zoichetu. He got that Kabbalah, the Kabbalah schar, and they say v'tokim v'adartip nezokim for Yerushay Melekecha. He says another dover nifla. He says, we know Reb Zeira very badly wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says a few places his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, didn't want him to go, and he snuck out. Literally, he snuck out. Smuggled himself out of Babel into Eretz Yisrael. Why did he want to go so badly to Eretz Yisrael? I'm reading inside. V'efsher, alpi masha kosev agoyin Reb Tzadik ha-koyin zechoyin el-vracha. B'sefer sichas malachi ha-shores, taftalud amid beiz v'zel l'shoyne. Listen to this. Hachiluk ben b'nei Babel and b'nei Eretz Yisrael. The difference between the b'nei Babel and b'nei Eretz Yisrael was as follows. Reb Tzadik talking. Ki b'nei Babel hayu shaktan b'yosef d'vrei Torah. The b'nei Babel, they were more holding and learning. Bigalam donim. Uma'at, however, shall you oiskim b'shvil kach ba'sogas ha'yira. But they weren't so engaged in trying to acquire yira. Mash'inkim b'nei Eretz Yisrael, says Rab Tzadik. Uki yodua, dechol sifrei hagadato ha'mitsuyim b'yodeinu. All the hagadato that we have, heim mi b'nei Eretz Yisrael, right? All the medrashim comes from Eretz Yisrael. V'amru ba'avis t'ram nosin, kol mi sh'yesh b'yodei halachos, v'ein b'yodei medrash. If someone only has halachos but not medrash, lo'y tam tam. He wasn't time Yiras Chet. Ki Agadois, it's Agada to Gemara, Heim Amavi and Yira Eleva Adam. Ube Eretz Yisrael, Nisasku Bekachioisim and Esek Balochas Ayanshah. Says Rab Tzadik, the Chil between Babel and Eretz Yisrael, Babel, they were learning all the Havayas, the Bayi Verova, that's what they were being Oisek in. Not so much in Agada to. Not so much in Inyon and Yira. In Eretz Yisrael, they're being Oisek in Inyon and Yira. And that's why all the Agada to comes from there. Ki Agadois, Heim Amavi and Yira Eleva Adam. Because Komish Yesh Biyodi Alochas Neim Adi Majesh, that this is an obvious Rab Nos. But the bottom line is Rav Zeira, who was about Yirashet, he's about Yirash Shemayim. You see, this is his Inyan. So he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why do you want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Because that was the place where you masik Yira. He wanted to shtel zuchtu to that place, Medrash, where there was an Inyan of Asogas HaYira. Could be, says Rav David Yoel. That's why he's running out of Bavel and he's going to Eretz Yisrael. Then he just fears Zeus with one incredible thing. Again, you see the break kite of W.L. in this piece. That's why I think it's Mamish Kedai to go through this piece. I'd start with the first word, I'd end with the last word. It's about eight or so pages. It's worth it. He says as follows, that he saw in the Sefer Oyel Shloima, from Radomsk that they bring, that the tzaddikim used to say on the Yid HaKudosh from Preshischa. So who's the Yid HaKudosh? Yid HaKudosh from Preshischa, right? So my family comes from Alexander. This is our Messiah. But the Yid HaKudosh was a Talmud of the Chayza. He was the Rebbe Rabbinim's father, right? He was known as the Yid HaKudosh. In Yiddish, he was known as the Yid HaKudosh. So in the Sefer Oyel Shloimeh from Radomsk, this is all Poland, so it talks about the incredible Madreg of Yerushalayim that the Yid HaKudosh has. And then it tells a story that the Tver Shloimeh used to say over that the Yid HaKudosh once visited Rav Menachem Mendel Mirimonov, Zechreino Levracha, and the Rebbe Rav Mendel Mirimonov said on the Yid HaKudosh that he sees in him that he has the neshama of Rav Zeira. That's what he said. That the Yid HaKudosh from Pshischa has the neshama for Rav Zeira. And he says that's why he has so much Yerushamayim. Because Zeira is Rosh HaTevis, Zeira, Yira, Reses, and Eva. Says Rav David Yoel, that the Rebbe Rav Mendel Mirimonov said about Yid HaKudosh that his Haflogah of Yerushamayim came from Nishmasai Shal Rav Zeira. And his Zeira is Rosh HaTevis, Zeira, Yira, Reses, and Eva. But he didn't explain what Shaykh is Rav Zeira to Yerushamayim. There's a million Rav Zeiras in Shas. What does that do with Yerushamayim? Abba Vehein Hein Advara, Vehuvan Heitev Alpid Vareinu. The Teretz and the beer in what Mendel Mirimonov meant is all the Torah that we just spoke about. The Rav Zeira Hoyo Muflik B'Mailas Yerushamayim, Vehein Ayyide HaKudosh. And those are the Mendel Mirimonov gemeint. He meant that Rav Zeira from all these different Gemaras that you find, the incredible Madreig of Yerushalayim that he had, and that's what he was trying to say about the Yid HaKudosh, that this is something that he was zoiche to. The bottom line is, you see, Rav Zeira wants to get the schar for being mechaber tamid chachamim. I thought al tiu kavodem am shamshen es rav aman asa kabel pras, al tiu kavodem am shamshen es rav shalei aman asa kabel pras. And the Hilig Bnei Yisoscha said, it's because the end of the Mishnah is vihim Yerushalayim aleichem. And this is an inyan that's mavur in Chazal, maybe it's not in the Zohar, maybe it's not in the Yerushalmi, not in the Ritva, but the bottom line is, this is an in that's before in Chazal, that Mipnei Seva Takum, Vadarta Pnei Zakin, the reward for that is for Yerushim Elikecha. Rav Zeira very much wanted Yerushamayim, and that's very matim with all these different inyanim that you find in the world of Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira, if he wanted it so badly, it's Pashit, Yogati, Matzasi, Tamin. That's why you find the Yiras Shamayim and the Yiras Chet that Rav Zeira had was literally something Ba'ifa Nifla. Rav Zeira wouldn't laugh. Rav Zeira is referred to as the Chasidim of Bavel. Rav Zeira is fasting and he's so nervous. Every 30 days he goes into a Taner to make sure that Gehenna is not going to be shoylet. That comes from such a sensitivity to chet, such an incredible year of chet. Maybe that's why Reb Zeira wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, like Reb Tzadik says, because in Bavel there was no agadata. In Bavel there was more shaktonim, lamdonim, but in Eretz Yisrael they were more Isaac and Dinyanim of Yira. This was the avoida of Reb Zeira. Either way, a fascinating insight into the great Amora Reb Zeira.